Okay, well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be here. Worship the Lord in song. Johnny, thanks for leading them songs. So this evening, there were a few of us that went to Bible school in Bern this year. So they asked me and the three others if we would like to share the things that stood out to us, I guess. It's kind of hard trying to put all my thoughts together. It seems there's so many things that stood out to me and that I have to work on in my life, but I tried to get the ones that stood out the most, and just bear with me, I guess. Isaac Zimmerman, he was shared on Monday afternoon, and then he shared every morning from then on, but he shared on developing personal convictions, and a lot of his points really spoke to me. One of the points that he said, if the line, talking about our convictions, is a few feet behind you, it will eventually move up to where you're at. If our convictions are back here and we're standing up here, eventually them convictions are gonna come up, and we're just gonna keep going farther and farther in life. Another thing he said, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. If you imagine a chain, all them links welded together. Now, in our convictions, we're the ones that are welding them links together. We're the ones that are stamping them convictions in our life. And if we don't weld some of them links as good as we should, there's a possibility that they might fall off. We might be able to catch them the first few times that we slip and fall, and they lose out, but eventually they're going to fall off, and they're not going to return. Who is influencing us as we form personal convictions and standards? That's one that really spoke to me. He used the example if he had a few chairs up on the stand, and he said, who is filling them chairs in your life? Is it your buddies that aren't going to help you make the wisest decisions in life, or is it your parents and your ministry, other godly people around you that are helping you form them convictions and standards? Are we doing just enough to stay out of hell, or are we staying as far away as possible? I was thinking of a deep chasm, or if you're on top of a mountain and it's a sheer drop off, we would try to stay back as far away from that ledge as we could. And that's the same way with hell. We should be staying as far back away as we can, not trying to get as close to the edge as we can without falling in. He made the comparison. He said a story about him and his boys. They were on, I think it was Lake Superior, I'm not sure, but there was a piece of driftwood, and they would take this thing and throw it into the lake as far as they could, but eventually that piece of driftwood would make it back to shore. And if we don't have Christ inside of us, our convictions ain't going to do anything. We're just going to float around and do nothing. But he said, whereas a ship, it has an engine inside of us, and when it leaves the dock and it has a destination, it's going there, and there's something inside that's making it move. May that be our lives, that we have Christ inside of us, making us move and making us go forward. Moving on, Alan Troyer, he shared on the first and greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. He talked about we have to get off the throne of our heart and give it to Christ to reign from there. That spoke to me. How many times do I like to be the one in charge of my own life? But if we can let God, if we can give it up to Christ, He'll take us to a lot farther places than we could ever go. One point he brought out was, love God with all our soul is to lose self. Use the example, self is like a seed. As long as we do nothing with it, it will produce nothing. A little seed, if we keep it in a little bag, it's not going to do anything. Self won't do anything for anyone else. It's just a little thing that we carry around, and maybe perch on our shoulders, look what I did, look at this. But as soon as we can plant that seed or take self and give our lives to Christ, it will die, which brings forth fruit. That's something that really stuck out to me. If we can give up ourselves and accept Christ, there will be fruit come out of our lives. He said, there's a battle for our heart, and who is winning? The devil and God, they both want our lives. And he said, it's up to us. We're the ones that can make that choice of who will win that battle. Arlen Schmucker, he had one of the evening messages, and he talked about our walk with God. The definition of walk is a continuous and steadfast movement, and it takes action to walk. We can't be sitting down and saying, I'm walking. You have to get up. You actually have to do something to walk. And I took that to a Christian life. We can't just be floating about on the whim and still saying we have a close walk with God, because it takes action. It takes convictions and standards in our own life to have a close walk with Him. Is my walk and talk the same? That was one thing that stuck out to me. Do I only walk and talk with God on Sunday and forget about Him on the rest of the week? It's another thing he brought out, that on Sunday we come and we our fire is lit a little bit. We can worship God and praise Him, but as soon as Monday rolls around, we start thinking about work. We get into work, and by Tuesday we forgot all of what we heard. We forgot about our relationship with God, and by the time the end of the week has come around, our fire is completely out. And that's something that kind of convicted me, is when we come around to Sunday, it seems you're on fire for the Lord, but on the rest of the weekdays, is our heart still in the same posture as it was on Sunday morning? It's something that spoke to me. Are the words of my mouth indicate what is in my heart and walk with God? What's in our heart is what's going to come out. And then we had a song that we sang that kind of spoke to me. I'm not going to try to sing it, but a few of the words, they really, really stood out. The first verse says, who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him will go? Are we on the Lord's side? Are we helping Him? Are we trying to bring others into the kingdom? Are we doing all we can to please and do His will? Last verse says, fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the King's own army none can overthrow. And there's going to be challenges and there's going to be trials, but it says Christ's army none can overthrow. And that was just encouraging for me, that there's nobody that can overthrow us if we stay rooted and grounded in Christ. So that's basically all I had, and I'll let the others share. God bless you all.
Well, good evening, everyone. There's a lot more faces than what you see from your seat. Kind of nervous up here, so bear with me. But yeah, thank you, Logan, for sharing that. I was encouraged and blessed this week down in Bern. They had a lot of really good teaching down there. Is the mic too close, or is that all right? So to start with, Isaac Zimmerman, on his one of his messages, the points that I had gotten from it, he, as Logan said, he was preaching on developing personal convictions, and he wrote down five reasons why personal convictions are important. And I wrote, the one of them out of the five was make decisions on what feels good rather than what is right. It was a question, I guess, but I was just thinking of that. Do we, in life, do we make decisions what feels good or what's actually right? When we're around people and our friends, do we, you know, depending who the group of friends is, who we're hanging around, what do we tend to do there? I believe James 4:17 is the scripture that I found on it. It says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I just thought of that because I've been in those situations before where you have to think of, you have a choice to make, whether it's good or bad, and you can, oftentimes in a situation like that, you'll hear a voice of some sort in the back of your mind, and it'll either, a lot of the times if it's a bad choice, it'll tell you not to do it, and whether or not you listen to it is up to you, I guess, but normally if you hear that, it's not a wise choice or not a wise decision to follow through with. And with that, I don't know, I didn't write the date down on the message, but a while back, Nate Loniker shared a message on, he asked the question, are you listening to the voice of a stranger? And I thought of that. I wrote it down in my notes, and I went back and found it. And that's what it said. I wrote down what he said. It said, when you hear a voice saying, you can have a little fun, or what's it really going to hurt? That's the voice of a stranger. And then behind it, I wrote, flee from it. So, yeah, I guess my encouragement is to, if you guys hear that, or you feel a little bit kind of on the edge about a decision that you're going to make, just think about it. Think about the outcome of it and who it can affect and how it's going to affect yourself. And then Alan Troyer, he shared a message on the first, and well, his whole topic was the first and great commandment, but the one title of it was love God with all thy soul. And I wrote down here, are we identified with or by Christ? And Matthew 5:48 was the scripture I found on that one. I believe he pointed the scripture out on that, but 5:48. It says, be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, obviously, we're all human. None of us are perfect. We make mistakes. It is what it is, but God has grace for us on that part. But it reminds me of I think Lucas shared this once about a little boy and how he looks just like his dad. And it reminded me of something else. I was at Menards a while back, and I saw that exact image, but it was in real life. There was a little boy walking out as we were walking in, and he was exactly like his dad. He had the same bill cap on, the same green hoodie, same color jeans, the same little square-toed cowboy boots. He was cute as a button, but it was like you could place him right with his dad if you'd have saw him next to each other. And it kind of convicted me. Challenged me for sure. Like when I go out in public, what do people see? About for us, the brothers, it's a little easier because we can, you know, we're wearing jeans or whatever, like we kind of fit in a little more. But for you sisters, it's a different story. But they can still tell by our actions. We stopped at a coffee shop on the way down in Bern, and we were, I don't even know, looking at some stuff on our phones, and we were sitting on one of their couches waiting on our drinks and probably got a little too rowdy. We were really laughing and whatnot, having fun, but I was just thinking of that, like, was that a really good testimony? You know, you could probably see that we were a little different from most people, the way we were dressed and whatnot, but we sat there laughing like anybody else would, which I'm not against laughing because I like to have a good time or whatever, but yeah, that was just a challenging thought to me. And then Isaac, again, I went off of his last message. This wasn't actually about the message, but he was making kind of a point out of it that really stuck out, probably because it was comical. But so when Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, he was all short. We all know that, but he couldn't see. And Isaac took it to the extreme, and he said when he gets in this large crowd of people and all he saw is kneecaps, he wanted to go climb a tree, he wanted to get up above everyone. And so I wrote in my book, if all you see is kneecaps, climb a tree. Because basically the point behind it is there's none of us in here are physically handicapped. We can all get around, and we can, you know, do whatever we want to pretty well. Maybe except some of you older ones, I don't know. But for me, I can, if there's something I want to do, there's pretty well nothing that I can't do on my own. But I was thinking of that, like Zacchaeus, he was little and he couldn't get through to this crowd. He couldn't get to see Jesus. So what did he do? He did something about it. He didn't just sit around and go home and ruin his day just because he couldn't see Jesus. He set his heart to it, and he actually did something. And that was kind of a challenge for me. You know, it's so easy when, you know, maybe you, for me, I don't like to get up late. When I set my alarm, that's the time I want to get up. In fact, sometimes I'll set it 5 minutes ahead of time just so I can get up at the exact hour or whatever. But if I oversleep, that's a sure way to ruin my morning. I hate oversleeping. I hate missing my alarm clock. And too many times I can let that ruin a whole day. You just think about it, and then it starts to just work up everything else in your mind, and it's too easy to just let that stuff get to you. But then they also shared on thoughts. I think it was that Daniel Neuenschwander who shared on thoughts? And he had doubtful thoughts in there, and it just made me think of that. You know, we can, once you start to get down and start to have a bad day, it's easy to have, like, let nothing but doubtful thoughts come in your mind and ruin your day even more. And so that was, yeah, definitely challenging for me. And then John Lonaker, he shared on, I don't know what it was, actually. I didn't write it down because I just thought of it now. But he asked the question one day, if we have a testimony in our life, or basically it, he was asking if we have proof that God has worked in our life. And I just had to think of that, you know. On a song that we sang, it was the last song, the second verse, says, not forever in green pastures do we ask our way to be, but the steep and rugged pathway may we tread rejoicingly. And I thought that summed it up pretty good for us as Christians. You know, I think we face new people every day, for the most part. But if you're at work, and as Brother Noah was sharing today, you would hit your finger with your hammer and you just let that thing go and throw it and say a whole line of words, that's not a very good testimony to those around us, nor like people out in the world. That's, you know, if somebody sees someone and you claim to be a Christian and then you do something like that, it's kind of like those two go against each other way too bad. But yeah, anyway, I think that was about all I had. I was blessed by going down there. I didn't actually want to go on Monday. I was kind of not really looking forward to it, but by midweek it was worth going to it. So yeah, for any of you youth that have never gone to it, I would encourage it next year, Lord willing. So that was all I had, and God to bless you.
Good evening. I'm maybe a bit nervous. I think they kind of stole all my thoughts that I was going to say, but I'm going to see if I can round up a couple of new ones. I've been blessed with the whole day so far. A couple of thoughts that encouraged me and challenged me throughout the week. Isaac Zimmerman, he was talking about reactions and how we react. And I thought of a little illustration about reactions. It may be a little humorous, but we're all sitting around the supper table and a bowl of soup spills and all my sisters, they go, and all us guys, we just kind of go, whoops, and whatever. There's different ways we react. Actually, they go, grab paper towels, quick. But there's different ways we react, and there's good reaction and there's bad reaction. And he said that another point he made was we can't be half-hearted or casual in our walk, and we can react to one bad thing in our life, and it can just take us to another bad thing. And I'm not sure exactly where it is. I should have looked the reference up, but I never did. It says that God would rather us be either cold or hot, and he hates lukewarmness. And that was convicting to me. I feel like I was lukewarm in a way, but a lot of people, they make the statement about they say that if they're sharing their testimony or whatever, they say how instead of saying they backslid, they like to say that they put it in park. And you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but to me, I don't think there's a park. I think there's a, if you put it in park, it's automatically reversed. You're going backward, because if you stop filling your mind with good things, then bad things are the only thing that's going to fill your mind. Yeah, and then Logan shared about who should influence where I draw my lines, and that really convicted me. Who's influencing where I make my personal conviction, and that's something I definitely need to work on. And a illustration that Isaac had on personal conviction is he said, so if you're driving down the road and you're going over speed limit and you see a cop, your first reaction, you slam on the brakes and you go speed limit. But he said your personal conviction is it's the speed you were going before you saw the cop. That's your personal conviction. Whatever it was after you seen the cop was something else. It wasn't personal conviction. But yeah, I guess that's about all I had. I think most of my thoughts got stolen by Ronnie and Logan, but yeah, thank you all.
Good evening. So, I mean, I think they kind of stole some of my thoughts, too, so it ain't really fair. I had to be last. I have a couple thoughts, and I was going to read a poem that was in the back of our course book. Some things in Alan's message. Am I loving God just enough to get into heaven? Am I just loving God enough to get in there, or is there more of a drive to love God for other things he's done for me than other just to satisfy myself, just to stay out of hell? Am I loving like the woman who anointed the feet of Jesus? When she did that, there was two people that there against her. One account in Matthew, I think it's in Matthew, records Simon. He had the problem with, it's a mess. She's a sinner woman, and if you were really God, you wouldn't let this sinner woman touch you. And Judas, he in I think Mark, I forget now. The problem he had was that she wasted the ointment, and yet she pressed through that. She didn't care. She didn't let it deter her. She pressed through it, and she loved God enough. She loved Jesus enough that she came and anointed his feet and put aside all those other things. Sometimes us, we can kind of let other people get in the way for us loving God. Is my heart honest? Am I honest with myself, with where I'm at, and my love for God? Am I honest with where I'm at and my personal convictions. Yeah, Isaac had a really good message on personal convictions, and I think that it's a very good series, and you should listen to it if you have a chance. But he was saying how our personal convictions can line up with the church vision, because there's many different. I mean, I'm standing here and you're standing here, and we try to make a line. Like, where do you make your line? But the way he laid it out was made very good sense, and I think you should listen to it. John talked about a faithful soldier, and one thought I had, I think it's in his message, is if I was a king for 40 years like David, he was talking about David in his messages, and he, if I was a king for 40 years, would I be able to remain humble like David? With like as I face all these battles, and I'm overcoming, and just like I'm defeating all these different armies, would I would the temptation be there? I have all these people under me. I feel pretty powerful. Would I have been able to remain as humble? Something I think Steve said is not the years in your life that count, but rather life in your years. I think it's a good quote. I'll read that poem, and then that'll be it. Oh, hark, the noise of battle falls upon my listening ear. The title of his Wanted, Soldiers. It rings across the yonder plains, resonate loud and clear. The devil's forces raging against the soldiers of the Lord. In fiendish hate they wield as one the dart and sharpened sword. Enemies of the cross of Christ, their goal is plainly seen. With evil intent, souls are lured by sin and burning greed. They fight with skill, they single out the weakest soldier there. To kill, destroy, God's name reproach, this purpose one they share. God's army, red in blood, they stand, unmoving in the fray. Though weary from the battle's heat, they falter not, but stay. The greatness of their master's glory, they seek to now preserve. Their love for him compels them on to give them without to give without reserve. Launch out, attack! The battle cry rings clear across the land. The general calls to soldiers who have joined the blood-washed band. And soldiers true, though weary, still have rallied for attack. With faces set and purpose sure, they never will turn back. But oh, alas, the urgent cry falls still on deafened ears. No thought is given, e'en though that call has rung through ageless years. As unconcerned men live their lives, entangled by its price, affairs of life have gripped their hearts, its unrelenting vice. They know the need, they hear of wars, they say a prayer or two. They give a double tithe and hope they've done their duty too. They praise the ones who sweat and toil on front lines of the field, but think it hard that God requires all men their swords to wield. The comforts of this Christian ease have lulled their hearts asleep, and minds that once belonged to God are filled with self-conceit. The devil laughs in rancid glee, such men no danger hold. No fear to engage their hearts, they steadily grow cold. Then from the front lines of the fight, a desperate plea for aid re-echoes o'er 1,000 hills from morn till deep night shade. Reinforcements, send them quickly, courage to renew. Our hands are weary, hearts nigh fainting. Strength, wilt thou endure? The general stands with piercing gaze, searching the whole world through, for men who count all things but loss that Christ may claim his due. Reinforcements, who will fight to win at any cost, enduring hardness as becomes a soldier of the cross. But as he looks with longing eye, his heart is stirred with grief, as he weeps as men discard their swords and seek more self-relief. Enlisted soldiers turn their backs to find a smoother course, forgetting that God's kingdom stands and must be won by force. Then he turns and I hear him say in a whisper soft and low, "My child, will you take up your sword, gird up your heart, and go?" And I bow in awe before my Lord, in quiet sense of need, compelled to say, "Lord, by thy grace, I will thy soldier be." That was a poem that I really enjoyed. And it's called, this whole week was, to be a soldier for Jesus Christ, to develop personal convictions, to love God with all your heart, and to be that young man with a big God, as John talked about David. To trust God in every circumstance. And so that is all I had, and I hope that you guys were all blessed. I was blessed this week, and encouraged to fight on. Thank you for listening.